CliffCentral.com.
Shots fired.
You have to have more black people in the agency. We tend to apologize for this or be a bit apologetic about how we say it. And it's 22 years down the line. So fuck that.
G-Man, the ad man.
Fuck that.
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com.
Hello, 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 hello. What's up? It's your boy G-Man, the ad man. Yeah, and here we are once again on another beautiful, beautiful Wednesday afternoon. Well, Wednesday morning. You can tell I'm already in holiday mode, wanting it to be afternoon. Because you know that line I always say about the tequila thing? Yeah, I feel like we've arrived at that place. Maybe is it tequila time? Maybe is it not? I also know that a couple of you are already on your year-end function steez. A couple of you already talking to him on Facebook about how you actually want to listen to the show, but the year-end function is getting in the way. Listen, that's exactly how podcasts work. You know, you can check it out afterwards when your head is pounding. Tomorrow you can listen to the podcast and you can check out the show. We've got a really, really dope show for you today. You know the song I just played for you right now. It comes from an ad that I really, really, really dig. I mean, guys, how well have the guys at MTN done? Are they still at Metropolitan Republic, I think. There was a pitch that happened recently, but apparently they have not announced who's won that. So yeah, so I take it as Metropolitan Republic. But you know what? Have to applaud those bad boys. That ad is dope, man. It's been a long time since there was a time when the ads, the cellular networks used to make those dope ads, you know, and it used to be dope. It used to be like, you know, you knew that Vodacom was going to make a dope ad. And I'm not just saying that because I used to work on Vodacom, but you knew that Vodacom was going to make a dope ad, and you know that Cell C would make a dope-ish ad, and then you know that MTN would make a dope ad as well, you know. So so it's really, I feel like it's really cool that that MTN has kind of reminded us of their space. So congratulations to anybody if you know the guys who made that ad. What's up, man? I do know that that Tebogo Mahlatsi shot it, so shout out Bomb Productions. Hey, I do know that Tebogo Mahlatsi shot that. The soundtrack is just dope, and I think, you know, the track is a big part of it, but I think the casting was fantastic. Well, it's fantastic. And I think the characterization is dope. You know, it's not trying very hard, and for some weird reason you actually forgive that there's dancing in the ad, you know. So in as much as you know that big thing that we are all fighting every week, the dancing plagues. For some weird reason, I was able to forgive the fact that there was a bit of choreography in there, but it wasn't all bad. But tell me what you feel about it. I'm still G-Man the ad man. Hit me up on Twitter. That's at Blaxem, at BLAXEM. True, what's going on? That's at BLAXEM on Twitter, or at Cliff Central, at CliffCentral.com, and then hit me up and tell me what you think about that ad. Tell me if you think it's dope. Tell me if you don't like that. And you know what? Actually, we can even draw the comparison between that and the because I know Vodacom just released another ad that plays a lot. I think I see it a lot on my catch up with the goggles, you know. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, let's talk about it. You know, tell me how you feel about it. Tell me about how those two ads compare. Like I said, you know, like this show, we try a lot not to shoot shots at adverts. But let's compare the two ads and let's see how we feel about it. Yeah, you're laughing here. It's not your time yet. We'll talk to you in a little bit. Anyway, what else has happened in the world of? Oh man, the chicken licking ad. Now that new ad is dope as well. I think that ad is dope. I mean, for those of you who haven't seen it, it's really about well, it's got Laz Olakola in it. Shout out Laz. And apparently it is Joe Public's first ad for chicken licking. We're hoping to get Kolisa Kyashana in here or the creative team to come here and chat about it. But you know, Joe Public is a busy place. You know, they pitch. Yeah. I think Golisa said he's in another pitch, dry run or something like that. But yeah, but the ad is fantastic, man. It's fantastic. Essentially, the plot is that there's this guy who gets sent to the South African Space Station, and he's meant to be delivering some hot wings. But you know, as hot wings do, he never actually arrives. He arrives at the space station, but he doesn't have the hot wings on him. But the but I mean, I think the way it was shot as well, beautiful, beautiful production value. I'm not actually sure who shot that. So if you know who shot that, hit me up on at Blacksim on Twitter and tell me who shot that. And also tell me what you think of that ad. It's it was obviously a very tricky thing, you know, to move from Chicken Licken had been at Network for a very long time, and they developed like a couple of personalities, but well, a personality that went through a couple of changes over the years, and now having moved to Joe Public, they obviously had like a whole legacy to carry, but I think they did a great job. So huge shout out to the guys at Joe Public. I'm not really sure who the creative team is, but yeah, I think you guys have done really well. I'm very happy about that. What else? What else is going on? Okay, so I've gotten someone sent me a flyer. Some guys from Midlands, actually, where I'm from. You know, you gotta plug the guys from the hood. That Ciroc is sponsoring this thing called Goodies and Foodies in the hood. Now, once again, I think I'm very. It excites me to know that you know, big brands are going straight into the townships and not necessarily enforcing themselves onto the scene, but actually finding their space onto the scene. And I know the guys who are going to be running Goodies and Foodies, sponsored by Ciroc. And apparently it's going to be a great thing. It's happening this weekend, and it's going to be an amazing event. Yeah, and we're excited about that. But you guys are going to go to that and enjoy that this weekend, because I'm not going to be here. Because I am going to be in Botswana this weekend. In fact, I leave tomorrow. Tomorrow I go to Botswana for the Sekgai Awards. So yeah, so from tomorrow all the way until Sunday, I'm going to be judging the Sekgai Awards. I think it happened on Saturday. A beautiful, beautiful place. Huge shout out to my Botswana massive. What's cutting? Yeah, really, really can't wait to get out there again. I'm going to be going out there with two guys who are friends of the show, Mr. Melusi Chabalala. Shout out to Mr. Melusi Chabalala and Mr. Fistas Masekwame. Yeah, that's what's up. Hey, Timo Tajin is going to hate me for this one. But yeah, it's going to be great. It's the second time I'm going out there to judge. And you know what? I'm excited to see, you know, how the standard of the work has grown. You know, I mean there was some really, really great work the last time I was out there. And I'm excited to see, you know, what the country holds. And also, you know, the friendly hospitality of the Botswana people. The Botswana people really know how to make a guy feel like, you know, he's here to hang out, you know? So I'm really looking forward to that. Looking forward to seeing some of our guys who are friends of the industry in South Africa and friends of the show as well, you know. So we're really excited about that. I'm excited to bring you the results of that next week when we come back and to download to you guys what had happened, and maybe by then we can actually have an interview with some of the guys from the Sekgai Awards. So I'm excited about that. It's going to be great. While you guys are at Goodies and Foodies sponsored by Ciroc, I'm going to be at the Botswana at the Sekgai Awards in Botswana, and it's going to be a dope hangout, and that excites me. So then there's this other thing that has been bothering me, and judging from you know, the conversations that we've been having on Facebook and you know, the some of your comments on Facebook about this is something that irks a lot of us. So let me get into it, and I think what I'm going to do is I'm also going to bring my guest into this, and we'll kind of chat about it, and then we'll chat about him. But I want to get his view on this as well. So there's this the UK Business Insider published this great article, beautiful article, and you'll understand why I say beautiful and why you sense a tone in kind of that line. It's the 16 richest people in advertising ranked by income. Now, you guys, for those of you who have not seen it, go to my Facebook page, check it out. In fact, I posted it once again, the 16 richest people in advertising ranked by income, and there's a very nice face. There's a man with a nice face on the front there, Sir Martin Sorrell. You know, it's not even Mr. It's Sir Martin Sorrell, who's the WPP CEO, and just says WPP CEO is a big earner. Right, so Mr. Martin Sorrell, fantastic. You are a big earner, right? So how do they calculate this thing? So it says that the methodology is our ranking looked at annual reports and SEC filings, whatever those are, and taking account of total annual 2015 compensation, including salary, stock awards, option awards, and other incentives. So this list, you know, it's 16 guys from all over Europe and America who essentially make a lot of money. You know, I'm not gonna bore you with the entire list. So maybe what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna go and read you the top, let's say the top three, right? So in the top three, sitting at number three, sitting pretty at number three, is a Mr. Michael Roth, right? So Michael Roth, CEO of IPG, right? So IPG is a group that kind of has, you know, your FCBs in there, your McCanns, you know, and it says here that his compensation sits at 14. I'm not sure whether it's an estimation or not, but this, according to the article, his compensation was at 14 million US dollars. You know, there are other numbers, but I don't want to zoom on myself here and then end up, you know, with proverbial egg on my face. And it says his compensation was up 12% on 2014, right? And then we go to number two. It's Mr. John Wren of Omnicom Group. He's the CEO of the Omnicom Group, right? His compensation, sitting pretty. Wait, we didn't actually. Let's clap for Mr. Roth. You know what I mean, Mr. Roth. He did well for himself, right? So now, Mr. John Wren, compensation $23 million. I mean, for those of you who are good with the maths, you know, you kind of have done the math with the rising and falling rand. What that kind of means to you and me, okay? And then okay, so yeah. Once again, well done. Well done, Mr. John Wren. And then there is Sir Martin Sorrell, the WPP CEO. His compensation sits at 87.5 million US dollars. Right? Right? Let me say that again. That translates into about 70 million pounds. That's what's up. That's what's up. 70 million pounds, right? Now, once again, if you go in there and you do your math, you understand that this guy on his own, right, on his own, made well over a billion in South African rands. And that's and you know what, like, I'm not going to sit here and say, you know, like, this is not the whole YT person, you know, he made 100 million because, you know, he has all the, he's carried the business and all that. I hear you. But what is glaring, and what some of you have also mentioned on the Facebook post, is that, one, this list is completely populated by white males, right? So that's fantastic. It goes to show that, you know, our transformation problem is not just sitting here in South Africa. Pretty much everywhere in the world, black people are not, you know, doing the best in advertising. Two, there's not one female, right? So not one female. And because, you know, once again, you know, apparently this same list last year, there was a female, but not anymore, because, you know, they don't have time for that kind of thing. They've surpassed it, you know, they've leapt it, some of these great guys. And you know, I'll read one of the posts that were on the Facebook page, and it was by Jenny Glover, and shout out Jenny, another fan of the show, right? And she says, this post makes my blood boil. Not just because it's full of deeply unattractive white men, but because their money is made with creative sweat. And that sweat is largely unappreciated and underpaid. No one needs to earn this kind of money. It's totally obscene. Now, I don't think there are truer words, right? So here's what I'm going to do. So at this point, I'm going to introduce you guys to my guest. You know, he didn't know that he was going to jump into this part, but but I've got him here. I've got with me winner of, well, joint winner of the Umpeta Awards at the Pendorings this year. The other half of you know, the other winner couldn't be here because he had meetings, because that's how advertising works. He's got meetings, and so we were able to draw another guy from the beautiful agency of The Odd Number. Once again, like I said, it feels like we say The Odd Number all the time on this show. With me today, I've got Mr. Bonginkosi Luvuno. What's going on, Big B?
Hey, the G-Man. What's good, homie?
I'm good, man. Just step closer to the mic, Big B. There's no time for shy here, man.
Yeah.
What's up, man? How you doing? What's going on?
No, dope, homie. Like you said, you know, I'm running with the number.
Yeah, that's right.
We are doing good things.
Yeah.
And we've been off to a really good start, you know?
That's dope. Shout out number. Yeah, but before we get into that, Big B, tell me, man, what do you make of this show? Like this great list. What do you make of it?
Yeah, look, man, I think we all stepped into this game knowing that there's there's an established sort of group of I don't know what to call them.
Yeah, like the big companies, the behemoths, so to speak.
That run this thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So for us to think overnight, Jay, things might just change.
Yeah.
Is a little too idealistic, you know.
I get you, but I mean, I think, you know, maybe it's the gap that astonishes me. You know, like the fact that, like, we all know kind of the cash. Everyone knows actually that advertising, especially creatives, don't make a lot of cash, right? And then when you look at these numbers, right? Because the other astonishing thing is when you look at that list, there isn't one creative.
Yeah.
You know, all of them are like, there's a strategist. You know, I even saw a guy in his title, it says former head coach. Like, what does that mean? Like, what were you doing in the agency where you were the former head coach? Right? So how does that make you feel? Like, does it make you aspire to be, you know, like to stay in the creative side of things? Because, you know, chances are you're never going to get to where Martin Sorrell is while you make creative work.
Well, I mean, I'd say locally we are seeing guys like Mr. Morris,
yeah,
who's now kind of stepped into
the business side of things. Shout out Mr. Brad Morris, what's up?
You know, which is inspiring, because you see that actually you don't have to stay that creative who's earning a
pittance. Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So in that way, I think
there is a way, I guess.
We just need to expand.
Yeah, but you know, and I hear you. You know, there's a positive way to look at this stuff, and I see you, Big B. You're a silver linings kind of guy. And I hear you. You know, we can't be all doom and gloom about you know, our outlook on this entire thing. But at the same time, dude, there's no ignoring the glaring facts about that list. You know, and I think that in fact, you know what? Out there, tell me what you think. You know, hit me up on Twitter at Blaxem, at BLAXEM on Twitter, and tell me what you think of this. Tell me what you think of this amazing phenomenon of these guys who've made all this money. Because for me, it really, really does baffle me. So tell me something, Big B. Like for example, you remember, you know, the nice money you made when you started in advertising.
Yeah. Love.
You know what I mean? So when you draw that kind of, that well, from that experience, and you compare it to the numbers that we're talking about here today, does it not, because I'll tell you how it makes me feel like, you know, to the big guys, you know, and maybe I'm being overly dramatic, to the big guys I'm just like the table. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Because like, it doesn't really matter how much I contribute, that guy's gonna keep making over a billion rand.
Yeah.
And you know, but at entry level I'm still making creatives earn 4,000.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like how does that make you feel? Are you cool with that?
It's really not that inspiring. And yeah, I think most of us, when we step in, when you walk into that agency for that first interview, you don't know that, you know. Cool, they'll say, okay, we'll give you a gig, you can start and you'll learn what.
Yeah.
But you don't think they're gonna give you a nice 3,500.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? As soon as you hear that, you're like, oh shit.
Yeah.
Is this what I've signed up for? You know?
Yeah.
But then you then need to start meandering and finding ways for you to bulk that thing up.
I hear you. Guys, it also feels like, you know, like I said, Big B is a
He's
a silver linings kind of guy, you know, and I understand that. But I'd like to hear your views, you know. I'd like to hear what you think of this list, because for me, it bothers me a lot. It bothers me that it feels like advertising still has this one hue to it, right? And it has a face. If you look at these people on this list, you know, there's a face, there's a trend that you're looking at there. You know, there's a guy from Europe and there's a guy from America, you know what I mean? And we're not gonna ignore the fact that all of them are white, all of them are male, you know what I mean? And I feel like the conversation needs to start getting more urgent, you know what I mean? Not just about the color of it, but also just about the real diversity of it. But you know, the creative conversation is huge for me. Yeah. And like, to your point, people like Brett Morris are changing the conversation and all that. So I'd be interested to know what everyone out there thinks. But that's the world of advertising for you this week. It made me question a lot of things. But then I guess also, I mean, that's, you kind of have to have that kind of money in your kitty when you can go out in there and just say, hey, I want that agency, and just pull out the money.
Yep.
You know, somebody needs to be earning, you know, a billion to be able to pull out that money and buy an agency. So it's exciting out there, guys. So hit me up and tell me what you think about that, and we'll talk about that on the other side of this. But let's get back to the reason why we have Big B here with us. I keep saying Big B. For those of you who know Bongo Siluvuna, you'll know where Big B comes from. but man, talk to us about, let's take a step back to that Umpeta Award.
Yeah.
Talk to us about that. What is that? What's the Umpetha Award?
So the Umpetha Award was, we shared it with Ogilvy, like you said. But our bit in it was for an ad for BBC Brit.
Right.
It was for a radio ad we recorded for Top Gear.
Right.
Right. And
so you guys did a Vanac ad for Top Gear.
We did a Vanac ad where we had what some elders might say is a ipati,
right?
Because we had a madlozi in the ad.
Ah, okay.
Actually, doing what happens on the show, which is reviewing a car. You know.
Oh, that's dope, man.
Someone's
that's
bought.
Dope. Look at you guys, man. Yeah, so what is that? Let's just give this man an applause. So tell me. So what is the price? What is the Umpetha thing entail? You know what I mean? Like, so what do you walk away with?
So for the Grand Prix, I think typically the amount is the Pandorings gives you 100,000 rand.
Yeah, I told the guys about Pandorings and money.
Wait a minute, yeah. You see 100,000 and you think, yes, nice Christmas is coming here.
Yeah,
but actually they encourage you to put it towards studies or some kind of course or a workshop that you can go to, you know, internationally and learn more about some creative stuff.
Yeah. You know? So you say that you and the guys at Ogilvy are sharing this thing.
Yeah.
So you guys are gonna go 50-50 essentially.
50-50.
Right. So have you guys already thought about what you think you wanna do with it?
Yeah, well, we've been looking at some shows that are coming up early next year. Yeah, man.
So my South by Southwest, that kind of thing.
Yeah, you know, see some Americans, you know. There's some nice flavors out there.
Go and drop it out there.
Exactly.
Dude, that sounds dope, man. That's really, really dope. So but now how, I mean, there must be like now an internal squabble now. You know, like, you know, am I gonna put the client service lady on this thing? Am I going to put the producer?
No, look, fortunately I'm working with some really inspired guys who Spoo, as you would know, part of the Odd Number was, you know, saying maybe we could just make a thing of it and, you know, try find a way to go as maybe a bit of a team.
Make a thing of it
as opposed to a one-man mission.
That's dope, man.
Yeah,
that's really, really cool. No, man, you guys are doing amazing things, man. You guys are doing dope things. So I think that, you know, what we're going to do. So I'm gonna play a track and then I have to play an ad because, you know, that's what we do here in the advertising show. But when we get back, I wanna chat about where this whole thing started for you, you know.
Yeah.
I remember there were days, man. When Gray was still on Catherine.
Hey.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I wanted to chat about all those days, you know, where this ad game started for you, you know, and we're gonna get into it, you know. We'll chat about it. So it's your man G-Man the Ad Man, and I'm still here on Cliff Central, still hanging out with your boy Bonko Siluvuno from the Odd Number, or Number as he calls it, and let's go to a break. When we come back, we're gonna chat with Big B. Hit me up. That's at BLAXEM on Twitter, and chat to me about anything that we've spoken about up until now, and with your questions for Big B, if you will. But boom, on the other side, I'll see you. Boom.
Not everyone who likes cars is a petrolhead. Some of us prefer the unmotoring side of cars. Yet we all spend so much time in these machines that they have become an extension of our personalities and reflect quite a bit about who we are and where we are in our life stages. On Auto Central, we understand this.
Make sure you're up to speed with all things motoring by tuning into Auto Central every Monday morning at 9 a.m. just after the Gareth Cliff Show, or download the podcast on autotrader.co.za. Auto Central, motoring's biggest power hour, powered by Auto Trader.
You have to have more black people in the Asians. We tend to apologize for this or be a bit apologetic about how we say it. And it's 22 years down the line. So, fuck that.
G-Man, the Ad Man.
Fuck that.
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on clipcentral.com.
Yo, it's your boy, G-Man the Ad Man, and we're back. And I'm still hanging out with your boy, Big B. Bonko Siluvuno. You know, we're talking about music in the ad, and I was talking about the MTN ad. But another track that I really, really dig is the one that's in that DSTV Premium ad. You know the one by that was done by the one that was done by Bomb Productions, by Tebogo Malope. Shout out Tebogo Malope. But yeah, that track is dope, man.
With Nchebe.
Yeah, the one with Nchebe. Oh, that track is dope, man. Guys, who knows what the name of that track is? Somebody hit me up. Send me a link to that track. That track is dope. Dezza, if you're listening, my man, please send us a link to that track, because I think it's dope, man.
Yeah.
And I also actually quite like the whole concept. I mean, it took me a while for me to like the thing until it actually dawned on me. Like, you know, it's a kind of the idea of a Father Christmas, but
yeah,
not. You know what I mean?
He's cool. He's got swag. He's got Nchebe.
Delivering. He's got Nchebe. You know what I mean? He's also got moves.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And he's delivering magic, man, to people's houses. But I thought it was really, really dope. So huge shout out to the guys at Bomb. This is second mention to the guys at Bomb Productions. Doing big things, guys. Doing big things. But yeah, I'm still hanging out with your boy. From The Odd Number, you know, one of the guys that are steering that ship into big things. But yeah, that's not where it started out for Big B. Big B, so tell me, you know, like when you left Pimville,
yeah,
right, and said I'm going into adverts. What was the first agency that you went to? Or in fact, let's take it all the way back. You were with Smoo.
Red and Yellow. Yeah.
So talk to us about
that. So, I mean, even that, so after high school, you know, you have this thing called, it's called a gap year. Most white kids will take a nice holiday and see the world.
Yeah.
Most of us will just sit in the hood.
Yeah, exactly.
And,
yeah, so, and you play Ludo.
Yeah. You master the art of Ludo. So during that gap, you know, I realized that this thing called advertising, and I was like, no, let me try these schools. I actually tried...
Yeah,
I actually tried AAA.
Oh yeah,
and Vega, and those guys were like, yeah, no, we think you've got a very visual mind. Maybe you should look into art direction or design or whatever. It's like, okay, thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Somehow I managed to get hold of the copy test from Red and Yellow.
Ah, right.
Did that thing, sent it through.
Red and Yellow's in Cape Town, I guess.
Yeah. Cool.
But was your intention always to go to Cape Town?
Oh, no.
Oh, okay.
I just wanted to get into this ad game.
Ah, okay. I mean? Yeah.
And when I heard that it's in Cape Town, I was like, even better.
Yeah, ooh. I mean, come on. Yeah, the oceans.
Like in Ludo. Yeah. So, yeah, man, that was it. You know, like, spent 2 years, met the homie there in Cape Town.
Yeah.
And, yeah, ever since then.
Because Smoo is also from Pimville, but you guys had not known each other by then, right?
Yeah. No.
Because he was from the other Pimville. A soft one.
So he says. Yeah. I don't know how true this thing is. No, I'm kidding. I think he was there as a lighty.
Yeah.
And then his family.
And then he moved out. Moved out. Okay, cool. Yeah. Oh, that's dope. So you did 2 years at Red and Yellow. And then it was one of those things where, like, you know, someone said, we have to do an internship now. And we know where the school finds you an internship, but you know, they take you to, you know, Pete Pompey's advertising. You know what I mean?
No, unfortunately, my Pete Pompey's was Ogilvy Joburg.
Oh, dope.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, and that's dope. Shout out Ogilvy.
Twitter tweet. Yeah. And at the time, it was still being led by Jerry Human.
Ah, dope.
Ah, dope guy.
Yeah.
I learned so many things from that cat. So, yeah, man, it was...
So hold on. So then you're right. That's what you are. You're a writer. So you didn't start as this visual guy that these guys wanted you to be.
No. I told those guys they can keep their visual things. No, because you know what you want to do. You know what you're good at. You know, from high school, it was like, that's the thing that I enjoyed doing, creative writing. So
dope.
Yeah.
Oh, that's dope. And then, how long were you at Ogilvy? At the ponds?
At the ponds? Yeah. I spent a good 3 years.
Yeah.
Good 3 years there.
Yeah.
Met, you know, some of the dopest cats. Bosanele.
Yeah. Shout out Sanele Ngubane. What's up?
You know, TK, all the homies. And then, Gatanangis Tola, Singia. Oh, then I went to join Smoo again at Grey.
Yeah.
Like you said.
Yes. Yeah. I remember I used to, when I was at FCB on Catherine, I would see, Big B on his way to work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Sweaty.
But it was obviously that time, once again, to kind of go back to the money conversation where you know what I mean? We were not earning a lot of money.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm interested though, like how did you justify that when you got back home? You know, because, you know, like obviously, like now you just come from Cape Town where you spent a lot of money on a school in Cape Town, right? And now you've come back, you spent 3 years at Ogilvy. But at the same time, sorry, knowing what I know about advertising, I'm sure that even after that, you were not making like...
No. I mean, the folks were like, okay, so,
what's going on?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you not good at this thing you're doing? You know? And for them, you just need to explain that really this is how it goes. You know, this is a game. It's, you know, you need to make a name. Yeah.
Yeah.
And with all the work that you do, then it starts seeing, okay, at least there is some kind of fruits that come out of this thing.
That's right. And at that time, at Grey, Mike Barnwell was there, right?
Yeah.
And that guy, I mean, we all know, shout out Mr. Mike Barnwell.
Yeah.
You know, that guy, he knows how to get work out of you guys. Eh?
Yeah, one way or another.
Yeah.
No, he was a really dope guy too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how long were you in Spoo? Were you in Spoo there?
I think we spent about 2 years together.
Yeah.
And then Spoo then left, and we moved. Grey moved to Branston.
Right.
I spent another year there. And
So you've done that thing that a lot of creatives talk about, where you are when you started the industry. They're like, no, you must move around, you know, to make the money. You know what I mean? Like, you know, you can't get too comfortable.
But I think I haven't done it as much as most cats.
Who are most cats? What are you talking about?
Let's not mention names. But they know themselves. You know, if you're listening, you know yourself. You know, you spend a good year at a joint and you're like, okay. On to the next one.
Yeah.
You know?
No, but I'm one of those people that actually know what it's like, you know, to be at a place and you're like, yeah, maybe this doesn't work. Maybe this does, I don't fit in.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean, and it's very important for you to kind of make the call to bounce. So, but then after that, is that when you went to FCB after Grey?
Yes,
because then you and I worked together at FCB, did some nice things together.
Nice sweets, yes, yeah.
And I mean, and you were there for how long?
About, I think that was another 3 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, I shy 3 years, boy.
Banang is banang. Hey, 3 years.
Shy 3 years. 3 years.
So that's a number boy. Good to hide.
Yeah. After 3 years.
After 3 years, Melis Kulumana.
But has it been one of those things that, like, you know, like with your journey, you know, is the intention that to become a senior writer? Because, you know, like we always talk about it on the show as well, you know, the difference between, you know, the value of being a senior writer who does really, really well, or is the aspiration to eventually become a creative director? Because those roles are quite different.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So which path do you think is the one that you will embody?
Look, I think you sometimes find yourself, you almost grow into the next level.
Yeah.
So I'm quite happy with what I'm doing right now.
Right.
But also there's things outside of, you know, the advertising space that I'd like to pursue.
Right. So like what?
So like getting into a bit of production, you know, creating some kind of content and just stuff that.
That's dope.
I mean, you see dope shit on like Boom Zanzi Magic. You know,
yeah.
You look at our other friends on SABC and
you're like,
surely there's so much more to this creativity thing, you know?
Which I guess is still creative writing.
Yeah.
Right? You know what I mean? But it's just not writing 30-second format or 45-second format.
Exactly.
It's getting into the bigger stuff.
Exactly.
And is that something that you guys at The Odd Number are kind of, you know, pushing?
Well, I think most of the guys that came in, I don't know whether it's by default, but, you know, like, you know, we've got some cats who are into music.
That's
we've got
right.
People who are into design. You know, some of the girls have been talking about a blog, this mysterious blog that no one knows what it's going to be about, but we know it's going to be dope.
I'm waiting, girls. I'm waiting.
Yeah, you know, so I think everyone needs, like, we once had this conversation about needing another outlet.
That's
you know?
Right.
You
that's
can't
right.
just be writing 30-second ads.
Yeah, because life. We know what 30-second ads can do to you. They can come for your soul.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. No, man, I think that's really, really important, but I think, you know, for me it's a very important conversation about you know, kind of valuing the art of the creative itself, you know, because not everyone has managerial skills, right? And the mistake that a lot of us make in advertising is that you kind of go, I've been doing this, I've done 3 years there, 3 years there, 3 years there,
now
it's time for me to be CD, you know. And I think once you look at the roles of CDs, and then you look at, you know, people who kind of just went, okay, maybe it's just time, because you can see it gets a bit rough.
Yeah. I've seen it break a few guys.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you and you came into this thing wanting to just make the work, and next thing you do, all you do is like meeting after meeting after meeting. You know?
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong. I mean, you know, if it works for you, that's what works for you.
That's right.
You gotta choose. You've gotta choose.
That's insane, man. That's insane. Yeah. So I mean, do you guys have, how many creative directors do you guys have? You know that bad advertising joke, CD Warehouse. You know what I mean? Oh man, this agency is always CD Warehouse. Do you guys have a lot of CDs at Odd Number?
Number, Krenkren, officially we've got Spoo as our CD.
Yeah. Don't break the equipment, Big B, please.
But
I mean, you said about outlets. This is my creative outlet. You're breaking the equipment.
Please. Yeah. So we've got Spoo as the CD. But what happens is he, you know, there are times when he has to step out.
Yeah.
And sometimes I have to assume the role of, like, you know, overseeing whatever. System and whatever.
So you kind of are assuming the role and you get to step up into that.
Hence our saying, sometimes you find yourself in that position, but you're not necessarily cutting for it. But I came in here, you know.
Oh, when are we ate all like,
geez. Sometimes.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's fucking great. And do you guys have some kind of internship program, you know, just in case, you know, some of the kids want to call you guys up?
Yeah, no, we've actually got a guy that's with us right now, a young man called Chad.
Yeah. Hey, shout out Chad. I know you guys are listening there.
Yeah, man. The guys are keen to, like, you know, bring new guys into the industry.
Yeah.
And help mold, you know, the next generation.
Exactly.
Yeah, so that's definitely...
That's exciting shit, man. So yeah, guys, I'm still hanging out with Bongosi Luvuno, the guy with the controversial view on whether those guys, the Martin Sorrells of this world, are allowed to make that kind of money. He says it's okay. It's fine if they make that money and it's just them. But at the same time, you know, if you have any questions for Big B, hit us up on Twitter, and it's at BLAXEM or at cliffcentral.com, or hit me up on Facebook, you know, and we can chat about it. So here's what I want to know now. So you spoke about, you know, the money for Pandora's essentially going to, you know, a show overseas or whatever. Would you like essentially choose to go to like a Cannes, right, where it's essentially an award show that has, you know, seminars throughout the week, or would you go to something that is not necessarily like at mainstream advertising? So for example, like South by Southwest, you know, kind of his music, and like there's Kanye, you know, if he makes it out of hospital. Shout out Kanye, my man. You know, we're thinking about
with you. Kanye.
You know what I mean? So do you think, like, for example, because I think the difference is like things like going to Design Indaba or Lurie's. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when you choose this thing you're gonna go to, what kind of informed the choice of where you wanna go?
Well, I think for me, it's exactly what we just spoke about now. I'd rather see a show that talks about creativity as a whole.
Yeah.
You know, where I see how musicians go through their process, how, you know, guys in art do their thing.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
As opposed to just advertising.
Like, yeah.
I mean, I know Cannes is dope and whatever. Yeah. I've seen the victims.
Okay. Yes, that's terrible.
But you know, like you want to open it up and broaden your mind a bit more.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's cool, man. I think it's really, really important for me to kind of get that sense that we are all about, you know, the slightly bigger picture.
Yeah.
And now, I mean, just to kind of take another step back. Now, I've seen you guys took a nice photo. You know, you know, an agency is making money when they can afford to have a photographer come in, right, and put their entire staff, right, in one room, and they sit down and Spoo and Kola in the front, right, in the fisheye lens. You know what I mean? Like some most places will just get like a guy. Small places, a guy with a camera on his iPhone, right? And I've seen that photo. It's very chocolate in your guys' agency. Is that a conscious call or did it just kind of happen on its own?
You know, I think most of the guys, and I've seen like a few guys come in and out recently.
Yeah,
you know, because the guys have been chatting to some people.
Yeah,
but I think it's more about a culture fit.
Right.
You know, we always talk about a culture fit because you don't want to just bring in someone because they are a Zamban.
Yes.
Because
by somebody means a black guy.
Sorry, that's my. So I think the growth of the agency and the people there has been a natural sort of culture fit. People who fit into that culture.
I hear.
And do what they do well.
And if you were to kind of encapsulate that culture into like a sentence, what would you call that culture?
Man. It's a lot of words, eh?
Yeah. But I mean, has it got the influence of the Zambans? You know what I mean? Or is it really just about creating a South African agency?
Yeah, I think that's what it is. A progressive South African agency that knows what our people like.
Yeah. Because it's very interesting to have won an award for BBC Brit.
Yeah.
With a Vernec Sport.
Well, it's a Vernec thing.
You know what I mean? And because that's the place that we... The kind of pitfall that I think a lot of us fall into as like kind of startups that are predominantly inhabited by black people, that everyone just thinks, I'll come to you for the... You know, for the Vin Exports.
Yeah.
Give me dancing. You know what I mean? Give me the Kwaito. Give me the Spaza shops.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So how do you guys like get around that people expecting like, no, you guys are just gonna do this to more special banger adverts?
Well, I think the people come into the agency knowing that we are not here to, you know, refend some brochures or a t-shirts and caps.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The guys are very much driven about like really dope advertising.
Yeah.
You know? And I think it's all our sort of backgrounds put together, knowing what actually makes good work, and not just another fucking nada dancing black ass.
Yeah, because you know the temptation is for people to say, you know, when you're predominantly a black agency, to go, you know what, we understand the market. You know, we are the mass market specialists. You know what I mean? And it's a very strange thing because you know it's something that a lot of people can say that they are, but what does that even mean? You know, like Mzee Khumalo was on the show a couple of months ago, and he was like, you know, some people say to me, you know, make a South African ad, and I'm like, I don't even know what the fuck is a South African ad.
Yeah.
You know, so this mass market thing, you know, like, I mean, obviously you guys have mass market, right, knowledge, but it's obviously, you're saying it's obviously not all you do.
Yeah. No, I mean, you can't be the only thing that you do. Yeah. You can't be a one-trick pony, as they say.
Yeah.
you want to just make, I mean, fine, if you've got a dope ad for that talks specifically to mass market, then rock it, you know, do it. If it works, it's nice. But I think these days it has become a little harder because there's this scrutiny. It's almost like everyone's just waiting for you to make an ad with
dancing
and everyone's onto you, like on Twitter and Facebook. And like, look at you.
Yeah, we've got you, Big P. Sanbonanyama weekend. Oh, big shout out, Sanbonanyama weekend. But yeah, Big P, I mean, I think it's an important conversation that we're having, because I think I like that. I see, you know, the especially with shows like the Pendorings, you know, like the progress that there has become. Look, the Pendorings went from just being an Afrikaans show to feeling more like a South African show.
Yeah.
And I've always had this debate in my mind about how much of that we're going to bring into the Lurie's. Do you think there's a bit of a gap in the type of work that wins at Lurie's and the type of work that wins at Pendorings? You know what I mean? Like, do you think that there's a gap? There's a South African culture gap, for whatever that means?
Yeah, look, I've never been able to figure it out. I mean, I've always just brought it down to like a numbers game.
Yeah.
Your chances of winning being a numbers game. Look, there is that thing. Pendorings is definitely, they showed it this year.
You know,
they're about great South African work.
You know? Yeah.
Insights that can only talk to us in a way that any other show can't.
Yeah, but because I've always thought that I mean, the Lurie's has become more than just a South African show. You know, we get work from all around the world. And I guess that's also a part of that big debate where people are going, you know, are we going to lose our South African identity, or should we just leave shows like Pendoring to do the South African work? Do you think that it's important for that South Africanness that exists in Pendoring to start like finding its place?
A little bit into most def. I mean, that's what we're about, right? It talks about celebrating local creativity.
Yeah.
So let's do that.
Yeah, and not just Dubai. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm in Dubai.
Yeah, the Middle East can win, but they must give us Venek ass. Big P, you won't fucking believe it, man.
Shots.
But our time is done.
I
promise.
For real.
You, I promise you. I'm getting looks on the other side about songs that need to be played and ads that need to be played. The next show need to start. But yeah, man, I've had a dope hangout with you.
No, dope, homie. Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, man. I think I'm excited. I'm excited for you know, whether you become a CD.
Yeah.
Or, you know, or I keep assuming the role, or whether you end up just being like the super senior writer, it just keeps doing the dope shit. I'm excited about what that means.
Dope.
So I mean, if you had you know one thing that you would tell, and leave the money thing alone, that you would tell one kid who's walking out of Red and Yellow right now, and walking into Ogilvy, what is the one thing that you think you want to, not necessarily just Ogilvy, walking into the industry?
Yeah.
What's the one thing you would tell them to do when they walk in there?
Chances are you're going to end up, you might find yourself trying to make ads that you think your CD wants to hear or produce.
Yeah.
But end of the day, really, it's about making the shit that makes you happy.
That's
what
right.
you want to see on screen,
right,
and what you want
right.
to hear on radio.
I love that. I love that.
Do you, man.
That's dope. That's dope. And I like that because it's a recurring theme. You know, people to always talk about, just do you. Because that's the shit that you need to bring it to the table in order for us to stop making dancing black people.
Ooh, yeah.
So Big P, once again, thanks bruv. Once again, Mr. Kenneth, if you're listening, we need a little more time on
Please.
This show. I feel like an hour now has stopped being sufficient for a while now. but yeah, I mean, I think big shout out to everyone who's listening out there. We didn't swear too much. Well, yeah, actually, Big P swore a little bit.
That's a little bit.
But get the podcast, download it and play for your moms. You know, play it around the studio. You know, play it in the car. Those people at year-end functions. You know, tomorrow, play it. You know what I mean? You know, when they cancel that meeting because people have headaches. Play the podcast. Play it for the people around the studio and hear what Big B had to say today. Let's catch up again next week. Next week I'm gonna have that update from the Sekhaya Awards. I'm excited about that. Let's hang out. And remember, like I say every week, if the show was on a Friday, we'd be having a tequila. Boom town.
Shots fired.
You have to have more black people in the Asians. We tend to apologize for this or be a bit apologetic about how we say it. And it's 22 years down the line. So fuck that.
G-G-G-Man, the ad man.
Fuck that.
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on cliffcentral.com. Cliffcentral.com.